Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel feeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Oh, boy. Hey again, everybody. It's me, Jungle Jim Jerome, coming at you with another episode of The Suspendables with me and Russ Cortinel. We took the week off last week. Russ, I've got to admit, I really missed you. I did. I missed you.
That's good.
It was a big...
I miss you too, pal.
Good. Okay. That's good. You kind of went like, oh, that, well, whatever.
No,
for a second.
I'm just giggling.
Now, Russ, so many things to talk about. I'm down in Florida. That's why I took the week off last week. And I came here on the 17th, Russ.
Uh-huh.
With a return ticket on the 21st.
Wow.
Yeah. I was coming down for 4 days. And then I realized... what was a complete negative turned into a big positive that I'm an absolute loser and I have nothing to go home for. So I just kept extending my stay.
I thought you were going to say you're staying because it's freedom.
Yeah. Well, freedom too.
Yeah. No masks, no mandates.
Florida's like nothing, baby.
Yeah. And it's been that way a long, long time.
Yeah.
Man, longer than anybody else.
I'm starting to come around to your side. People don't know actually your opinion and your side of the truckers rally that's happened since we spoke, the masks, the vaxes. There's so many things to talk about. But so I just kept making up stories that I wasn't going to return. You know, my kid. I did. I just kept bullshitting my way, right?
All you got to do is tell them you tested positive for COVID.
Well, I don't want to talk too loud because you got to take a test within 72 hours of you departing.
Right. Which is normal.
I've been back three times, right? Because I said I was going to depart and then I didn't. I put it off. My host, I'm staying with my buddy, Greg Clark. He's out in the living room working now. I got both doors closed. But I'm going to fucking tell him that I got COVID.
Yeah, there you go.
And I got to isolate, man.
If you don't want to go to a party, if you don't want to travel, if you don't want to go to work, you just say, fuck, I got COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think.
Or I'm not feeling well. Like the best out for anything is just I'm not feeling well. You don't have to make up that other shit. But
you know what I did? You know what I started doing, Rusty? Because I was going to ask, you know, I said, what are the biggest lies I made up when missing work? You know, and I missed work a lot. So I needed a lot of shit to do. And the biggest one I guess I ever made up was I was in a car accident. Okay. Uh-huh. You know, like your lies have to be getting bigger and bigger all the time. You know, it's like, okay, I don't feel well.
Yeah.
I got the flu. I ran out of fucking gas. I slept in. And then I said, I got in a car accident. I smashed the front of my car. So I didn't. But to prove it, I went out and smashed the front of my car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I could go to work.
You were going to say your drug dealer phoned in and said you were sick.
Yeah. I was trying to weave that in there somehow. Somehow that story. Did you ever have to make up any, Rusty, for practice? Or if you didn't, there must have been some beauties from guys' excuses why they couldn't make practice or the bus.
Well, I had a couple that were legit and the guys didn't believe me. When I lived in LA playing for the Kings, I lived like 45 minute drive from the rink.
Where?
And I lived out in Hidden Hills.
Okay.
And there was traffic. So it was, you know, I was always coming in like a little bit late or you just never knew with traffic in LA. So I tried to get there on time all the time, but the coach Larry Robinson was great, but he said he lived out there also when he played. So he knew what it was like versus the players who live in Manhattan Beach have no freaking clue. They're 10 minutes from the rink.
Right.
So he said, hey, listen, if it rains, you don't have to come in because you can't get to practice. People in LA, it's like driving in Victoria in snow. They just can't drive in the rain.
Right.
So anyways, a few times I missed practice because of the rain and it was sunny down in Manhattan Beach and the boys are all calling bullshit, but it was the truth.
Cool. Yeah. I made up a few. I missed an exam in university, and I told the guy I was shooting pool during the exam, and so I missed it. And then I went and told the prof that my grandmother died,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "No problem. Just bring that death certificate along with you." I said, "What?" He said, "Just bring that death certificate along with you."
Oh my
I said,
God.
"Okay, she didn't die. She's really sick."
Oh, that's funny. That's
anyway, funny. So Rusty.
Yo.
I need your support. Okay.
You always have my support.
I know, but this one you may not. You may not support me with it.
Okay.
And when I tell you this, I've talked about it with Stevie all week. This is probably more serious than it is not serious.
Okay.
And it perhaps has ended my friendship with Wayne Gretzky.
No way.
Okay. So, yeah, I made the biggest mistake that I've made in a long time.
Okay.
In a very long time. So I'm in Sarasota, Florida. Gretz lives down here now in Jupiter, and typical of him, I let him know I was going to be here. And then he said, "Well, blast over here. You got to get over here and play the Grove 23, mm-hmm. which is a golf course that Michael Jordan opened and built. Okay. It's super exclusive. Okay. Russ, you know, Sherwood's expensive.
First
50 guys paid $250,000.
Yeah.
The next 50 or so, whatever it is, are paying $425,000.
Oh boy.
And the next group are going to pay $1 million to join the course. And I'm going, "Well, that's ridiculous." And then Wayne said, "Well, ask the 600 guys who are on the waiting list." 600 guys, Russ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is true. It's not just because you have the money doesn't mean you're getting in.
Right.
It's really, he only wants good people and
he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Gretz says, "Well, whip over here." And I'm on a golf trip with a bunch of guys. Well, three or four of my friends are here and my buddies put me up. My buddy has a beach house. He's got another house and my other friend here, I'm on the beach. It's just outstanding. And so you gotta throw that out there.
Yeah.
I'm with a couple of buddies, Gret. Absolutely, Jimmy. No problem. Okay. No problem. So we jump in the car, go over to Jupiter,
mm-hmm.
where a bunch of LPGA guys play.
Yeah.
Or PGA guys play.
PGA. Yeah.
Yeah, Wayne and Janet lived there. They bought Dustin's house, and Dustin and Paulina went and bought another one or built another one. Mm-hmm. And we get over there. And so Gretz text, "Here's the code. You got to go through two gates to get in it. Here's the code." No, for the gate. There's no dress code. Okay. Mm-hmm. The only rule is no cameras.
Uh-oh.
So I get that. In we go. We meet Gretz. It's fantastic. It's a great golf course. It's really, he plays every day. He plays 36 holes a day when he's in Florida, and he does. We played 2 days in a row. It was fantastic. Not a very tough golf course. Fantastically designed, wide open, no trees, hardly any water. It's a links style course. I love what he's done. Jordan, you can see that what he had in mind is you're going to come here and have fun, and you're not going to get beat up playing golf, you know? And so it's really great. Clubhouse rusty, cigars free all over the place, wine, just help yourself. Outstanding locker room. So the no picture thing, Rusty, here's what happens is I get my head around it, and we met Michael. He was there all day, both days. And it was super polite, and he came up and shook my hand. And so what I understood is don't whip your camera out and say, "Can I get a selfie?" That's the whole idea, right? So I have my head around all that. So I don't do any of that. We're playing. We finish 9 holes. Michael is teeing off, I think, for his second 18 on one, and we're getting ready to go to 10. They both converge at the same spot. And he's over the ball hitting a shot. I pull out my phone. And I say, "I'll just take this." I take a quick video of him hitting a golf shot, and I put my face in the camera, go, "Hey, guess who?" And hitting a golf shot. And then I tuck it away. And I think, well, maybe it's not a posed picture, right? There was no, "Hey, Michael, can I get a photograph with it?" Anyway, finish the round, Rusty. I go home and I put it up on social media.
No.
Yeah. Fuck.
No.
I did. I put it on Insta, Twitter, and I think my Facebook.
Oh,
not like I was, you know, I thought, well, that's probably okay. It's just this, it's just him taking a golf shot, right? Oh, fuck, Rusty. So I'm playing golf. I'm back here playing at a great golf course called Gator Creek. My balls are shriveling up as I tell this story again. And I have my phone on silent. You know, it's in the golf cart. And I flip it over. You know when you haven't looked at your phone in an hour, you're going, oh, Jesus. And I flip it over. There's 9 phone calls from Wayne in 2.5 minutes.
Oh, no.
Missed calls, right? 9. So I'm going, oh, this is fantastic. He wants me to race over there right away, or he's picking me up in his plane, or he wants me to go back and play in his member guest. And then I see it ring again. And I see it, and I answer it. I'm like, hey, Gretz, how are you? Not good.
Not good.
Jimmy, take that picture down of Michael Jordan. What part of no cameras did you not understand?
Oh, my God.
What? I'm getting in shit, Jim, for it. Well, my heart down at the bottom. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Russ.
Yeah.
And then when I, like I said, I just have my head around. You can't do the pose. And then it's like, well, what do you think, Jim? You can't take a picture in the clubhouse, but it's okay to take one on four feet on the other side of the door, you know?
Yeah, when he's not looking.
Yeah. So,
oh God,
it was a good run, Russ. Me and Gretz had a good run. It was a good run.
You're gonna get ghosted for a while.
I'm gonna get ghosted for a while, but I just had this absolute mind cramp, you know, about it. And obviously, it was serious enough because he would blow that shit off, you know. And to get the phone call, I'm like, how bad? And then text me. He goes, so I, you know, he said, I'll phone you later on his text that I never heard. And then I sent back a very frothy apology, gutted.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, that's okay. He'll get by. And then again, you know, I haven't heard from Rick Tockett in a couple of years. Okay. Yeah. Or I don't know, 6 months. And we're friends. Hey, Jimmy, talk. What did you do to Gretz? Okay. No LOL, no fucking emoji, no nothing. So I told him, and he said, oh, don't worry about it, Jimmy. And it was the only relief I had. Don't worry about it. He said, Gretz says, he's now joining a public golf course. Rusty, have you ever done anything like that? Oh, my heart.
Misery loves company, but you have fucking no company in this.
What was I thinking?
That's horrible. I'm sweating.
Yeah, horrible. Just horrible.
Here's the thing is that you're lucky that Jordan and Gretz are really good friends.
Right.
But if it was a regular member over there, the guy would have got his check back.
Well, I'll tell you exactly. The biggest relief I had, Russ, the biggest relief for this whole thing, and believe me, I was rendered sleepless, okay? I'm not joking around when I say that.
No kidding.
Is the next day or yesterday, I woke up to see on someone's is a photograph, because Gretz, you can take pictures if the guy will let you, I guess. So Talk and Paul Coffey and Gretz were playing golf at Michael Jordan's course 2 days later. And I went, okay, fuck, he didn't get kicked out.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, my God.
Anyway, that was my foray into what part of not taking a picture.
Well, I can't afford to lose Wayne as a friend, so this might be the last show of the Suspendables.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll be checking in with Wayne later today.
Oh, man. Jesus Christ. You could tell him Jimmy's a wreck.
How did Jim Jerome fall off the wagon? Oh. He took a picture of Michael Jordan and lost his friendship with Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't end the friendship, but Gretz is cool. It may take a little cooling down process for a while, but anyway, dumbest thing I've done in a long time. And I lost my mind. I lost my mind from it.
We had, it's no longer, it was a rule posted at Sherwood Country Club at the exit of the men's grill. And it read something like, welcome to Sherwood, you and your guests are not allowed to approach any table unless asked to join them. No autographs, no pictures, no videos, something like that. And we always told guys, you know, here, because we're a super friendly club, but as a new member, you got to kind of ease your way into that kind of stuff. But right. I've known about those rules, you know, in LA, like some clubs, you got to wear pants, no cell phones. Right. Like when you belong to a golf club, you know those rules. And Jimmy, you just fucked up royally.
Right. Royally. Yep, I did.
But you know what? It wasn't a mean-spirited thing, and it was, you just lost your marbles for a second and weren't thinking, but
hopefully it all works out with you and Gretz. I'm sure it will.
Well, thank God it was only a picture of him hitting a golf ball and you weren't stupid, like snapping a picture, you know, in a towel in the locker room or something. Well, or you know,
then he would be toast.
Then he'd be toast. Yeah, he'd be out of there. Anyway, on to better things. Now that, I just got to go put on some deodorant.
Jesus Christ.
As I told if my buddy, okay, here's the gauge. Here's the gauge on if you're in bad trouble. Here's the gauge. If Russ is sweating from the story, okay, that is, you've done a fucking boner, man. A huge boner. But anyway.
Well, now we know why you haven't left Florida. You're hoping that Wayne will give you a call and say, let's have a cup of coffee.
Oh, no.
Kids, I can't come home until I make up with Wayne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm walking to Jupiter. It's a 300-mile walk. I'm going to do it.
Take that fucking shit down now.
Yeah, that well. That's almost the quote. That's almost the quote right there. He didn't swear, but it was get it down.
How quickly did you get it
down? Fuck, the guy's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing the most important thing in my life right now. Go ahead. I'll meet you at 18 and I'm on the 11th hole. I said, you just go ahead. I've got shit to do here, man. Yeah. And of course, what happens is I went to take it down, you know, cell phone cover, not that good. I couldn't do it. Yeah. I almost just threw my phone into the mouth of an alligator. And I said, okay. Or I almost threw myself actually into the mouth of an alligator. Anyway, Rusty, lots happening. Let's get to some better shit before we get to more terrible stuff that's going on in the world. Your buddy, Marty St. Louis, okay?
Oh, not my buddy, but I know who he is.
Not your buddy. He would have played after you, but probably you might have overlapped a little bit.
Maybe, yeah. And he was my kid and I, Lawton, and I loved him as a player. When we went to the finals in Tampa, the seventh game when he when they won the Stanley Cup. And I bought Lawton his shirt, so... I respect the player. I think he's great, but I don't claim to know him.
Right. And that's not the thing I'm bringing up here, but I was talking to Stevie earlier, you know, and I said, like the thing about hockey is when you do these hirings and firings, front office stuff or coaches, assistant coaches, you know, two people can have the absolute opposite opinion. And it seems to only be in hockey and sports of who they should rehire. Or who they should hire next, right? And you'll have one guy who goes, look, they got to get a new, young, fresh blood in here, some kid who's a go-getter, and they should hire that. And a bunch of people agree. There'll be a whole whack of other people that go, they got to go with experience, get someone who's been involved in the organization a long time. And right? And everyone will agree with that.
Yeah. You know?
You know what I mean? It's like...
Oh, it's great. It's unreal. The tug of war between what we need and what we don't need on any given team.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Anyway, they go with Marty St. Louis, and the guy's, I don't know, he's won 5, 6, 7 games.
Yeah, no. He's doing great. He's kind of the Bruce Boudreau of second choices, you know? Like, look at Bruce Boudreau in Vancouver. It was unbelievable. Same thing, different voice, boom, turns things around. And now they, you know, they're closing in on a shot at the potentially making the playoffs.
But Bruce Boudreau has a pretty good resume. Yes. Marty St. Louis never coached, man. And so why would they do that, Russ? Why would they? I mean, you played in Montreal, first of all. He speaks French. He's not bad.
But Vancouver, remember, they got rid of a player like Marty St. Louis, an ex-player who was, you know, Travis Green and is a really good coach. But they got rid of him and brought in the older guard. And so Montreal's kind of done what they've done and brought in the new a new voice, and he's French Canadian, which is great for the media and great for the team and played a long time. So I don't know. Fresh voice can be young or old or new or old, I guess.
Well, the others did the same thing, brought in this kid, Jay Woodcroft. And I played golf with him. I played a game of golf with him a few years ago or longer, four or five years ago. He looked about 8 years old. Anyway, he's going good. He's won 6 of 8 or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're out of the weeds. March 21st, Russ, trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You lived it. Is it a nightmare for most players, Russ, or is it a welcome deal?
Not anymore because of the no movement clauses and salary caps. Like you just can't make deals like they'd make back when I played because, you know, if you had a bad week or two, you could be gone. But, you know, you have to find a dance partner, and that means salary cap. Yeah, it's just not easy anymore. I just had Cam Neely here. Boston's in town. So Sunday I went downtown, picked him up. We had lunch and dinner.
How's Cam?
He's awesome. He is so freaking awesome.
What do you like about that guy so much? You bring him up a lot.
He's a man's man. He's a handshake guy. He tells the truth. He's a giver. Like, he's given so much back to the Boston community because he lost both his parents to cancer. So he left hockey and became this unbelievable fundraiser for cancer and did all these amazing things in Boston and then got into hockey. And he single-handedly is the reason why players like Shanahan, Sakic, Robitaille have jobs in the NHL, because he was the first player who had a vice president role, answered to the owner, and then became president. The GM does not talk to the owner. They talk to Cam. The Cam talks to the ownership group. So he's a really great buffer for the owner of the team. He's done a fantastic job, and every player who gets hired after Cam Neely deserves to give him credit, because he really was fantastic. He's fantastic at what he does. I'll give you one example of what Cam did, because he really cares about people and he knows what a real team looks like and feels like. I don't know if it's every Friday, but it might be. He has two players after practice go to the front office, and this is pre-pandemic, and they order pizza and they meet all the front office staff. And Cam wants the players to know that these people are working their asses off for the players on the ice to make everything that goes on in their life smooth. And he also wanted the office staff to feel part of the hockey team. And he goes, I got the best office and people love it, because now they feel like they're part of the team. So that's just one example. Cool. And then he goes on the road. He's on the road right now and he talks to the players. We don't have meetings, he said. He just like, hey, runs into a player at breakfast, at lunch, or in the hallway after practice, and they talk. Doesn't set up a formal meeting. He just talks. So he gets the feel of what's going on with the team. I could go on and on. I could do freaking two shows on what a great human being he is. My wife said he's the favorite player she's ever met of all the friends that I have from hockey.
Wow.
So, yeah. He's an awesome guy. I love him. Paulina's great. He's got two great kids. And
he's your friend. Sorry, yeah. I interrupted to ask you why you liked him so much. I think you were talking about the trade deadline or something. You drove him downtown.
So we talked. Sorry, we talked about the deadline, and I asked about it, and he said it's really not that easy with all the non-movement and salary cap issues. You know, issues meaning they know what the salary cap is. That's not the issue. It's that you can only bring if you trade away $5 million. Say you're at the cap and you're at five, you trade away $5 million, you can only get five or less back.
Right.
So it's, there's a lot to it. So it's not as easy as we think, you know, like in my day, you just freaking get rid of guys. It didn't matter. And it's tougher on the GMs today. So
Russ, what is the difference between no trade and no movement? Cause I've heard them both used and never together.
Well, I'm going to take a guess at this, because some players have teams, they list 10 teams that they would be, they could be traded to. And then some players just have no trade. So I don't know what that means, but I know that there's players that actually list in their contract, I will agree to go to these 10 teams, or I can list so many teams, and then they've got to make a deal with whatever teams the players has picked.
I can jump in here, guys.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
So no trade clause. That means obviously just what it sounds like. You can't be traded. You'll submit a list of 10 teams. I'll only go to these 10 teams. so they have power over where they're traded. With a no movement clause, that means you can't do shit with them. So you can't send them down to the minors, can't trade them, can't do anything with them without their signing off on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Steve.
My mom and dad sat me down and said, there'll be no movement clause. We can move you at any fucking time. Okay.
Yeah. Just keep it up, Jimmy. Just keep it up.
Yeah, exactly. So Cammy says not a fun time, trade deadline.
Well, I mean, I'm not involved, but every team who's got a shot is probably looking, what do we need? What do we need? You know, you see those rumors every day, like sources say, and who knows who the source is, whether it's just some guy in a back room making up shit. Mm-hmm. But teams need things. You know, every team needs something to improve on their chances. So obviously every team there's teams who are getting rid of good players to rebuild for the future. And the teams that have a shot are probably looking, what player can we add to take a run at it? So for sure, teams are busy trying to figure that out.
Rusty, who has more chance of making the NHL? A forward, a defenseman, or a goalie? You want to finish that text before we go?
No, I was goalie. It would be the hardest position because there's only two. And I'd say D is second because there's only six, and forwards because there's 12. Think about a forward. If you're a centerman, you can play right or left. Like I played 5.5 years as a centerman, and I was a centerman my whole life. And then Montreal moved me to right wing, and then I finished the rest of my career at right wing. The forward, I always tell kids when I was coaching them, the more positions you learn how to play, the more chances you have. But goalie's got to be the toughest. I mean, shit, if you're third, like, they only, you know, two make it.
Right.
Yeah. So goalie would be the toughest.
Although less are putting the pads on to try out in the first place, right?
True. Like, yeah. Yeah. You're right. There's less players. You're absolutely correct there. So maybe my theory's fucking wrong.
Maybe. I think it might have been you. You or someone else saying, being funny, but going, oh my God, I'll tell you what, you do not want your kid to have to be, you know, to become a goaltender. I hear that a lot. You know, I hear that a lot.
And last one to make a mistake.
Is that why, Russ? It's like, it must be just terrible on the kid. I'm thinking of the obvious.
When you played for my teams here, and when I coached in LA, we were the Bad News Bears, and my goalies were getting pumped 20 to freaking two against the Kings and the Sharks. And I felt awful for them, but it's tough when you're the goalie and the goalie's parents up in the, she or he could have had that one.
Yeah. Okay. Also in the news, Rusty, the Olympics, we haven't been on since the Olympics ended. Canada lost, the Canadian girls, Rusty, beat your American girls.
Yeah.
In the Goldie. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I'll tell you something interesting after you give your comments about what Wayne thinks of women's hockey in the to grow it. What they think, what he thinks they should do.
Interested to hear that.
Yeah.
I thought it was great that the girls won, and for the players that got to go play in the Olympics, for the U.S., Canada, especially, that would have never had that opportunity. Even though they didn't win, I'm sure they enjoyed themselves. Everybody wants to win a medal, of course. But, we didn't have our best players there, nor did the U.S. and obviously Russia and some of the other teams that they didn't have the best players. But all these guys got a chance to play. So it's an asterisk Olympics, as you know. Mm-hmm. But still, there's a lot of people that are probably thanking their lucky stars that they got the opportunity to go represent their country, even though they didn't.
Right. In the end, right. They're going to, it's like I'm on this trip to Florida, right. And like one day leads into the next day. So it's 4 or 5 days here of just getting up and going golf, and you become a little sort of take it for granted. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, I guess we're going to go golfing. Yeah. I know in a week after I get home, it'll be like, that was the best week of my life.
Yeah.
It's same thing for Olympians, right? They're like, maybe they lost, maybe they didn't, but anyway, hell of a final. Congratulations to the girls. They win gold. Was it 3-2 again? Like they've had like 17 games or something that were 3-2. I don't know if they got an empty netter or not. I forget now. It was a couple weeks ago. What was the final, Steve?
They jumped out to a 3-0 lead and then held on to win 3-2.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that was the umpteenth time that they've done that. Okay, Rusty, that's the fun stuff. My new hero, Russ, my new hero is, Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine.
Yeah.
This guy in the face of everything that's happened, he is the face of Ukraine's resistance here against the Russian invasion. And what's come to the front, of course, is of course the grossness of this thing of the war that's happening. The reason for it is mind-boggling. All that goes with this thing, and then the residual effect of it is what to do about sports, and what to do about people who are Russian playing sports abroad, away from Russia. Ovechkin, a couple other guys.
There's lots.
Medvedev, the tennis player. There's lots of them out there, and they're being confronted here, mm-hmm. cornered really, and put up against the wall with demanding an answer about what do you think about what's happening in your home country, and Ovi came out with a response. I don't have it in front of me, but I what would be the right thing to say, Russ? You know, first of all, is it fair that they're asking them at all? And if you were Russian, Russ, what, you know, Ovi's a friend of Putin's. He's been very vocal about that. And then this shit hits the fan. And now people are, the Olympics are cutting them out. The NHL is cutting off all ties with any Russian business deals that they have.
Yeah.
Promoting the game globally. They're not using any of the Russian guys as ambassadors. So everyone is cutting them off at the knees. The big one is we're not going to play these sports. We're not going to have a World Junior. We're not going to let Russia host any events. The International Hockey Federation, the NHL has come out and said, you know, we're hoping that we can keep the players secure. We're not speaking on behalf of Russia, but we come to their aid to make sure there's a safety factor in this thing. What's your whole take on all of this, Russ?
Well, I did see Ovi's comment, and he said, I just hope for no war. Like, we don't need war, something to that effect. It was, it was well thought out because he is friends with Putin. He is Russian. He's living in the United States. I mean, earning millions of dollars, and he's in a tough spot. The reason why these players are asked, I'm gonna ask Val Bure when the next time I'm with Val is, can you explain to me why this is going on? I think it's natural resources and other things, but you know, I think that's why they're asked, is because a lot of us don't know a lot. We know what we know through the media, but we don't know somebody like a person who's from there, lives there. And when you do, you ask them, hey, what's going on? Why is this happening? And I knew that there was something with Ukraine and Russia, because my friend in Maui opened up, he had 6 bottles he bought of wine. He bought a bunch of wine. He had 6 bottles from 1945, and they were from Ukraine, and they were made for the Russian Tsar, and somehow he got them. And it was this little story on this bottle. Wow. And we drank 2 of them. And I said,
of course you did.
Yeah, of course you did. And they were good. And I asked Val, because my friend said, if you want to give one to Val Bure, you can. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, Bure's no Putin. Maybe they'll give it. This will be a good way for them to give him something, right? And Val quickly, I sent a picture, told Val the story. He goes, actually, we're not friends with the Ukrainians.
Right.
And that was like 6-7 years ago.
Right.
So that was the first I'd ever heard of it. And so now this is going on, but I've never had a conversation with Val about it. And I'm curious to hear their side of it. What is the story from their side? We're hearing the Ukraine side, but you know, we're just the big bad wolf is Putin.
Right. And killing people.
And killing, and fuck the social media. I'm watching these, like I go on Instagram freaking every 2 seconds looking at stuff. I get a lot of information off Instagram. And man, the videos I'm seeing, they're just horrific. It's terrible. The bombing, like fucking, yeah, it's terrible. I mean, the whole thing sucks.
If you were running one of these organizations, Russ, what do you do about these innocent Russian athletes?
Yeah.
Because they're not letting them do anything. Even Gret said you shouldn't have a World Junior. They shouldn't be allowed to play in it. What would you do?
Well, the thing about the international stuff like Olympics is they're representing their country, where a player playing for a professional team is really representing himself. He just happens to be from Russia.
Right.
So right. I think it's correct in blocking Russia players representing their country for different events. Till this thing, I mean, they've been doing this for years. The US didn't go to the 80 Olympics, you know, blah, right. blah, blah. You go on and on. But I don't think these players should be punished because they're from a country. I mean, I don't think that's right. But it's freaking, I'm sure they're not feeling good about it because everybody's asking them, what the fuck's going on? Why are you guys doing this? You know? I mean, I had lots of people here talking to me about the protests going on in Canada because I was Canadian. Everybody wanted to talk about the truck drivers and the protesters, and just because they knew I was Canadian. So it, you know, you get involved in these things because of where you're from.
Right. Right. Such an awful situation.
Or yeah. asked about. Yeah. And it's awful. Yeah. Fucking people are dying over this, you know. The protesting, though, I don't think anybody died up in Canada, but they, you know, this is fucking war. It's awful. Right. It makes you, it just like I had Eric and Allie were in New York, and it just fucking bothered me that they were in New York. I don't know. When this whole thing broke out, I was like, fuck, I just want them to get home.
This Ukraine war, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought you were talking about 9-11 almost. No, that sounds like 9-11 talk.
When Putin starts talking fucking nuclear weapons, I mean, fuck, it's scary.
Yeah. Well, he's scary. Yeah.
Who gets dragged into it? I mean, who's getting dragged into it, right? I mean, you gotta look after people, but it's awful. Yeah. Doesn't sit well, I tell you.
My father was a criminal defense lawyer, and he said, there's no defense against crazy.
Yeah.
You can have the best lawyers in the world. You know, the best people in the world. You just cannot defend insanity and God almighty. Anyway, that's what we're looking at. Under better thing. Anyway, I for one think that maybe they shouldn't be banned, but you bring it into a different light when you go, unfortunately for them, they're representing their country. And
yeah.
And then that all says, okay, sorry about that, but you can't play.
Right.
No, you can't play. On to more pleasant things. Speaking of Instagram, I see your daughter popping up there.
Yeah.
Bring us up to speed. What's going on? Not Allie.
No, Brooke. Brooke
playing soccer, playing football.
Yeah, playing. So she's at the.
She's still on the team? Didn't get nipped?
No, she played last game, played the entire game last game. They're 2-0. They play in about an hour. Their third game. So there's four pools where they are, and they're the top three get to go to the World Cup. So this is called the World Cup qualifier, CONCACAF.
Yep.
And she made the U20 Canadian team, and she's doing really good. And she got a goal in her first game, a header. She scored on a head ball and
nice.
Yeah. So they're doing good. And, yeah, we were going to go, but they're not allowed because of COVID. They're not allowed to see anybody outside, like no parents or anybody. They're kind of in their own little bubble. So I think it would be harder on her if we were in the crowd and she couldn't come over and give us a hug and say hello, I think it's just better that we stay home and watch it on TV. So it's on Fox Sports down here in the US on DirecTV. So,
oh, right on.
So we've been watching. It's been great. And our third game's coming up.
Cool, man. I'm on my way out for dinner again. We're going to wrap it up here, Rusty, in Florida. I think I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been going to restaurants here, Russ, in Sarasota is where I'm staying. And I asked my buddy, did COVID ever hit here at all? Fuck, man. Do they know what's going on in the rest of the world? I'm laughing. Russ,
that's why I feel so bad.
Lined up around the corner. Yeah. It's people jammed into booths. Yeah. Standing room only. No masks.
And that's why I feel so bad for Canada. And now finally they're loosening up and letting us go back to hockey games. And everybody had to get vaccinated to go to a game, all this stuff. And then they wouldn't allow them in the fucking buildings. And they turn on the TV and there's thousands and thousands of people watching the games. And, you know, you come down to the United States now and you're looking around going, holy shit, what am I in there?
Nothing. I don't see that. I haven't even seen the number 19 anywhere. Okay. anywhere in this thing.
Here's where I feel bad is that Canadians and people in really harsh weather in the wintertime were stuck inside during this pandemic. And people in Florida and California and these warm states are able to move around and play golf and do this stuff. And I feel bad for my family and my friends and people I don't know who are stuck, and their mental health was affected by it. Their sanity, marriages, relationships, all kinds of things were hurt by this. And some people obviously lost loved ones. So I'm not making light of this.
Right.
I realize the severity of it, but when you do go to Florida, you're like going, holy fuck. I just got out of prison.
I'm telling you, man. I couldn't believe it. Like people,
because you have suffered, you've struggled with the weather and being stuck inside and your paranoia. And the
isolation I did. I got twitchy about it.
That's what I mean. I mean, you're an example of one of those people that really struggled through this. And now you're in a state where they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I'm going, God, my skin's going to fall off here if I'm not careful. No one's fucking, everyone's walking around with no shirts on. There's no fucking masks. There's not, drugstores are not even open. They're fine. Yeah. We keep regular hours. There's no testing. There's no nothing. Everyone kept pointing at me at the airport. And I landed in Atlanta. I was even in the airport in Atlanta. And everyone kept pointing at me. I'm going, what the fuck? It's because I had a mask on. I was like, what the hell? Anyway.
Guy sneezes in Florida and you hit the deck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can rob a bank. Nothing will happen. But good God. Hey, tell me, the last time we did a show, you flicked me with our little promo video because Sean Payton showed up at your house. Do you have any scoops for us? What's he going to do?
So he's
coach of the New Orleans Saints, by the way, Sean Payton,
who just retired. He is interviewing with Fox and Amazon right now for the color job, whatever that, media.
Right.
So he's going back and forth. Amazon has, I think, Thursday nights. And then Fox has, their number one show. So he's kind of going back and forth between those two. What's he going to do? Because he was looking at houses here.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to potentially move to LA or at least buy a home here.
Cool. He texted me and said he's going to come on the show.
Yeah.
He got back to me. And also Aaron Rodgers. I read a little headline today before we jumped on air here. Aaron Rodgers. This guy's becoming a bit of a D-bag, Russ. Aaron Rodgers in his career and the way he's kind of holding out a little bit with Green Bay and kind of talking, he's kind of nebulous in his little response to everything. You know, we don't know what he's thinking. And now I saw a thing today that they're working on a deal to make him the highest paid player in the league.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been bugging me. So,
we're not big fans of Green Bay because of Minnesota, but he's a hell of a player. Yeah. And I can see why some people don't like him, but there's a lot of people that love him, man.
He's a
hell of a player.
Rusty, good deal. I never knew how the show would go or how they're going to go. Fantastic. Good to be back. Good to be back, Rusty.
Yeah.
Good to be back, my friend. What are you doing?
Quit wearing sunscreen. Get some tan.
I got a tan. Stevie put the filter on. Look at this.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. I want to go put some makeup on and go see if Wayne texted me yet.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later, Rusty. Yeah. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to subscribe to the show so you never miss new episodes, or help our show grow by sharing it with your friends and followers. Check out our website today, thesuspendables.com.